Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We roll all the way till 6 o'clock here on a Friday on the Big Talker 1700, Jimmy B. and Trent. All right, we began the program at 4 o'clock, obviously discussing the Cy-Hawk game, partner. Let's kind of dive into that just a little bit more. It is my assumption, after watching both teams play, that both of these teams will miss the NCAA tournament. And they will probably get slotted someplace in the NIT. And there is room for growth on both of these teams to improve dramatically as the season goes on. But looking at the top teams in the Big Ten and the top teams in the Big 12, I think that that will probably be the key with why they do not make the dance. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, let's start first with Iowa. They're at 4-6 right now, already, of course, 0-2 in the Big Ten with those losses to Penn State and Indiana. Now, the Hawkeyes, they have a layup this Sunday against Southern. They get Drake in the Big Four Classic, Southern Utah after that. The Colorado game, though, looks very difficult. That game will be played in Sioux Falls. I can't give them a win in that. And
no.
But let's say they win the other four of the last five non-conference games here on the schedule. So that would put them at 8-7 then going into that stretch of 16 games left in the Big Ten. Just to get eligible to be in the NIT and having a winning record, you know, they got to run through that thing. They got to be 8-8, 9-7, something like that. I don't see that for this team right now. We talked about this at the top. I think there were some encouraging signs. The concern, though, is that you're still looking for encouraging signs for a team that's 4-6, and they dug themselves such a big hole. And the other part, Jimmy B, you know, we were talking before the season, and as I was railing on the non-conference schedule and playing Chicago State, Alabama State, Grambling, Southern, blah, blah, blah. Well, remember the NIT. It's not like the old days where if you were 500 or better and you were from a power conference, you were in. You were in the NIT. That's not the case anymore. It is actually a selection process. They work to get the teams that win their conference crown from the mid-major to the low majors. They get in automatically if they're the regular season title holder and they don't win their conference tournament. There aren't as many spaces, so we'll be looking at NIT bubbles when we get into March, Jimmy B. And Iowa might be in trouble even for that, so...
Wow.
I don't know. And we know
and
that.
Trent, who would have thought that? Who would have thought that?
Nobody.
No. Everybody had this team penciled in as most likely being the team from the state of Iowa that would be in the dance. It's a stunning development. And after last night's turnover of 18 and the way that they shot at the free throw line, it's... I have no idea. I'm not sure. And I know that, yes, there were some encouraging signs. Okay. But that's it. Some encouraging signs. You said it perfectly. They have dug themselves such a deep hole that it's almost impossible to get out unless they're all of a sudden, miraculously, they end up winning the Big Ten tournament.
Well, Fred's got to show a way that he can actually win a game there before we start.
Yeah, there you go.
Not winning three or four, more than likely, would it be for Iowa, the way that they're playing, but win a game, not that many in a row. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's such a hole that they dig themselves in. But mentioned this yesterday, there's still a chance for them to get on a run. Colorado's obviously the most difficult opponent. Colorado's off to a good start, but they lost to Colorado State. You know, this isn't a Colorado team that I don't think people have penciled in the NCAA tournament. Iowa still can get on a roll. Was there enough encouragement from you? You mentioned those encouragement things where maybe they figured it out. They were hustling. The zone, they didn't look as lackluster as they have in the past. They had a little bit of that bounce to their step back, and because of the way the schedule sets up, they go, they beat the teams they should. Their first two games when they get back to Big Ten play, home games against Michigan, Ohio State, neither team has looked like world beaters, though the Buckeyes have started to play a little bit better. They have a chance to get off to a good start. But that's so far down the road, Jimmy B. We just need to see more out of this team. They've lost six out of seven. They've lost six out of seven games. So before we get to that point, we have to see it more on the floor. All right, let's jump over and let's take a look at Iowa State. And Jimmy B., I like the construction of this team, We've talked so much about Nick Weiler-Babb and taking over a point guard and how much that has helped Donovan Jackson. You know, he just has an ability to get the basketball to the right spot. Though Jackson didn't shoot it very well last night, you know there's going to be games this year where he's going to go off, and he's going to hit 6 3-pointers, and he's going to score 28 points. He's that kind of scorer. Wigginton is a star. He is a star. You can see that. The front court, Lillard struggled defensively last night. They're still, you know that he has upside. I loved what Han Brace does. I like the construction of this team, and maybe I'm starting to buy in a little bit. Next Saturday against you and I will certainly tell us a lot, kind of what path that they are on. You look at these 6 consecutive victories, none of them outside of the Boise game were against anybody ranked better than 200 of the RPI,
right,
including Iowa, who checks into 234 today. So
wow.
It's not like they've beaten a bunch of heavyweights to this point. They haven't beaten really a team outside of Boise that you can say has much of a pulse. But I could buy it. I can buy this team suddenly. Maybe it'll be, hey, they got to win 4 out of 5 to end the regular season, you know, something like that, to get on the right side of the bubble. But I can at least see this team trending in a positive direction.
I understand where you're going with that, and don't forget the Boise game. Boise did not have their best player. He got hurt in that game, like in the first couple of minutes. So that made a big difference in that contest for the Boise State Broncos.
Still a win, though.
I'm not taking anything away from the win. That's a nice win, but I'm just referencing that they did lose their best player then. The thing that I wanted to get in here, I'm scared to death, and it was showcased big time last night, Trent. Who's going to rebound the basketball?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, look, you take a look. Just take a look at TCU. Take a look at Baylor. You know, I'm just going to reference those teams. Those teams go like hard to the basket, and they were out rebounded so much in the game last night against Iowa that it's still unfathomable to me that Iowa still lost that game, aside from the 18 turnovers and the lousy free throw shooting. But from that standpoint, I think that is going to be like their major downfall. I'm with you on Hans Brace. Brace was pivotal down the stretch, and even though he didn't score that many points, he was solid at the free throw line. He was solid grabbing rebounds, and I think he only hit like a bucket or two from the outside, but still, I think he is going to be a key player as the season progresses. But I'm scared to death in the Big 12 for Iowa State when it comes to getting a rebound. And if this team does not improve that facet of it, Trent, I really believe that's where their downfall is going to take place.
Got 27 minutes out of Hans Brace. I thought that was a surprise, but he played well. He got 7 rebounds. Solomon Young had 7 rebounds. You know, maybe they need a little bit more from Beverly. They're going to need Laird to have, you know, some big performances there. There's going to be matchups that they're going to struggle with because of the construction of this team. But overall, I see a lot more hope than I anticipated for this team. I said they were an NIT team, and I think maybe, just maybe, there could be a little bit more. They're going to have a lot of things go their way. You got to hold serve at home. I mean, to do that, I think they're going to have to be at minimum 7-2. In Big 12 play at home, and then you can steal 2-3 games on the road. So that's still incredibly difficult, you know, when you look at the schedule and the way it sets up for them. But I'm starting to believe certainly a lot more about this Iowa State team. All right, hey, one more as we're going through. I reference the game with you and I coming up for Iowa State next Saturday. That'll be game 2 of the doubleheader in the Big 4 Classic. Panthers got another nice win last night. That Texas Arlington team is good. I don't think people maybe realize just how good that they are. They're going to probably run through and be one of the top teams in the Sun Belt this year. So this is a team you can expect to be there with the top 2 seed, probably going to the conference tournament. That's a nice win. And you and I, they still have a couple of scalps that they can get, not just the Iowa State game. Then after that, they also get Xavier coming in the following Friday. So you and I, they still got to keep winning. You know, they can't afford hiccups, and 15-3, probably the number to shoot for in the MVC. They do that, they're going to be in some good shape, Jimmy B. They're going to be in real good shape. And they're up to 20 right now in the RPI.
Wow, that's incredible. And a great job by Coach Jake and his players. Look, was it the game before where Cook went off for like 33? And then last night, Carlson went off for like 24, 25 in the game. So they're getting it from, you know, their players that need to really step up. Those guys are indeed stepping up throughout the course of this non-conference schedule. And you're right. Look, that was a pretty good basketball team that they played last night. Mm-hmm. And it was a close game, but once again, it was played at their pace. They're good at slowing you down. They're good at turning you over. And they're pretty decent at rebounding as well with Carlson and Cook. So this is a team that is really going to make a play, I think. They stay healthy, Trent. And I think Wyatt Lohouse, he played last night a few minutes as well. So if they can get him back and healthy, he'll be a helpful player as the season goes on as well.
Yeah, a lot of depth there. Of course, we've talked about Taiwan Pickford, their freshman. Yeah,
yes.
He is outstanding. Isaiah Brown, who had struggled at times, he hit a big three after they had given up the lead in that second half. As I was flipping back and forth, Jimmy B, the clicker, got a workout last night with you and I, and of course the Iowa State game. But a good night of basketball overall. Well, we'll come back here. I'm going to kick you out of the studio for a few. I got Wolfgang coming in, and we're going to see how down Wolfgang is about this Hawkeye squad. You know, he's a big Hawkeye basketball guy. He does the Instant Reaction podcast over at Hawkeye Nation. We'll get his thoughts on things, and then that'll give you time to get your picks ready, and you continue to dominate, Jimmy B. You are 10 games over 500, 39-29-2 against the record, 57.4% on the year.
Wow.
I think I figured it out. Are you going to your buddy Dave Koken? Are you just giving him the games and saying, hey, Dave, these are the games I'm picking on my show? Is that what you're doing?
Three-Finger Dave and I go back a long ways, as you know. Yeah. But I know he's too busy. Ah. This is his busiest time of year. He has no time for me, Trent. None.
None
whatsoever. What I have done, for the most part, I just put the dartboard up, and then I just throw at it, and whatever sticks, that's what I say.
Oh, okay. So there isn't actually anything analytical or anything going into it.
Come on. Who are you talking to here? Come on. You know me.
You're just getting
lucky. Hell no, there's nothing analytical. Yes, it's pure luck.
Well, we will pick five games coming up this weekend. We'll take a look at the NFL locals. Army-Navy also on the slate. We'll pick five games coming up here to finish off the show in the 5 o'clock hour. But coming up next, we'll talk with Wolfgang. He'll join us as we take you up until 6 o'clock on a Friday. Jimmy B and TC on the Big Talker 1700 KBGG. Welcome back once again. It's a Friday, and that means it is time to talk to Wolfgang. Our man Wolfgang, you can find him on Twitter at Wolfgang Hawkeye, and he joins us twice weekly on Jimmy B and TC. What's going on, Wolfie?
Squawk!
Iowa falls last night 84-78 in Hilton Coliseum. Here's the good news for you, Wolfgang. The Hawkeyes covered.
Yeah. I knew you would bring something positive to me.
Yeah.
I knew you would, Trent.
I'm Mr. Sunshine. I'm Mr. Positivity. People know that about me.
You are not.
What?
You are not, which makes me happy that you're actually bringing something positive. You made some money yesterday.
No, I did not, because I was on the Cyclones. I laid the points. So, no, I did not make money on this one. I was on the losing end. I was on the losing end of Thursday Night Football. It's been a rough week at the Conic Casino this week, but we'll try to rebuild.
The Conic Casino, I love that.
The great thing is there's always another game the next day, so there's always something to fire at. And, you know, I'll still be firing this weekend. But, hey, I saw some positive things. And
I want to hear them. Go, please.
Please go, because
I need to hear them.
The disappointing part about this is we're talking about a 4-6 team, a team that is 4-6.
Oh, my God.
That has almost no shot of being an NCAA tournament team that had big expectations. And 10 games into the season, You're reaching for positives. I thought that you saw Maishi Daly continue to take a step forward, hitting a couple three-pointers in the first half, showing an ability to defend. He rebounded well. This is a guy that now, at the very least, is a guy that you can count on to be part of the rotation and help out a guard court that is struggling mightily. They competed.
Okay.
They competed hard. There were idiotic turnovers. Just dumb. Inexplicable
turnovers. Oh, my God. Did you see Cook? Okay, my brother's an eye doctor. Did you see some of those passes?
They're awful. They didn't take care of the ball, but they competed. They played hard. It did seem like they were out there and they were working. And that's something that has been amiss throughout the beginning portion and during the fade that they've had here as of late. That has not been a part of it. I think they defended better. There was more hustle in the zone. You shouldn't have to hope that, well, at least guys are out there hustling. This is college basketball. This is big boy sports. But that wasn't there. So those are the positives you can take away. They look like, at the very least, outside of the turnovers, a competent team. A team that you look at. 53 rebounds. 53 rebounds last night, Wolfgang. You're Mr. Rebound of the radio airways. You love your rebounding. That team went out, found somebody, put their butt on them, went up, attacked the basketball. Compared to where they were.
No, it does not. I'm not going to let you get away with that. Total rebounds and actually putting your butt on somebody and blocking them out is something different.
I watched, because I've heard you complain about this for so long. So I watched that specifically last night.
I can't wait to.
They were
right now
so much better. That's not great. I mean, we're not talking about a bunch of Charles Barkley's out there.
Thank you.
It was so much better than what they were. And that's the thing. This team, it's better than what it was, but we shouldn't be at this point. We shouldn't be at this point when we're talking Iowa basketball. Well, they competed with Iowa State. This is a rebuilding year at Iowa State. This is a year that is a building block for going forward for Iowa State. And Iowa, the positives you can take away is, well, they tried hard. And that's really it. And it's a thing. And it's a real thing. It's not me, you know, just being out there and being flippant, because it's real. Because compared to the effort level that I saw out of this team in the second half during the run against Indiana and Virginia Tech and Louisiana Lafayette in the first half when they're giving up a 20-0 run to the raging Cajuns, they competed better. That's the positive I take away.
Oh, God, this is pathetic. Okay, so I had an argument. So your wife, do you ever have arguments in sports? I had an argument with Tiff yesterday.
Okay.
You have that?
Yeah, from time to time.
This was cool. And at the time, I was mad and angry and just going, what are you saying? You're stupid. I'm saying it to myself.
Yeah. I was going to say, I hope you didn't say that out loud.
But she's an Oklahoma fan, okay? Mm-hmm. So I have to, she doesn't get why we don't.
Stop saying deliver. We, though, when you're talking about the team. Please, Wolf, stop saying we when Iowa. Iowa does this because people are checking in. Who are you talking about? That's all I ask.
Iowa.
Thank you.
Good point. It's sad. It's sad to watch what we're seeing. It's sad to see the guard play that we're seeing. We're not going to be good, Trent. We're absolutely not going to be good this year. I've made a fool of myself. You have made a fool of yourself. No?
No, I don't think so. Because we're not alone. We weren't off on an island. It wasn't just Wolfgang and Trent during the summer and talking and hoops and saying this team's good. It was everybody. It was Scott Dockerman. It was Mark Morehouse. It was Chad Lystico. It was on and on and on and on. It was regionally Tom Dienhard. It was people that know the Big Ten, that know Iowa. Everybody. Is there one person out there in the local media that didn't believe at the very least this was going to be an NCAA tournament team? One. Because I don't know of one. John Miller? No.
Yeah, that's a great point. I cannot think of one person that did not think that we would at least have a shot at making the NCAA tournament. I can't think of one freaking person.
Right. So this is an Iowa problem. This isn't a media problem. This isn't a fan problem. This is an Iowa basketball problem. This team.
What's the problem, Trent?
How long do you have?
Roster construction. Do you agree?
Yes
or no?
Absolutely.
What's the number one problem with Iowa right now?
They don't have
roster
enough guard. Well, they don't have a pure point guard on the roster. They don't have a backup point guard on the roster, if you believe that at the very least Bohannon can be a guy that can be your lead guard. You don't have enough guards. The construction, you're right. It's a terribly constructed roster, absolutely.
So that's your number one problem with with Iowa right now, because I can't think of something else that would actually be further than that. We're going to have tons of transfers. Tons of them.
Who's Brent? Leaving?
Kreener.
Okay, there's one. I can buy that.
And he is going to be a stud.
Yeah, he'll go to UNI and he'll be an all-MVC player.
Won't he?
Yes. Yes. He'll be.
Who do you sit? There's and nobody.
It's a catch-22.
Okay, and it's fun for me to act like I know everything, because I don't, and maybe you do. And you can act. You can sit there and act like you know everything. What would Fran do? Are you a know-it-all right now? I don't know what I would do.
Ahmad Wagner played 5 minutes last night. Kreener played 6. Garza played 7. They tightened the rotation last night, Wolfgang. So
what do you do? Again,
I like what he did. I like now there were some terrible combos. The stretch where he had it was Ellingson and Bear was the backcourt. It was Ellingson and Bear,
yes, okay.
And then up front it was Wagner. What was it? Wagner. Oh, Wagner, Pemsel, and maybe Kreener. I don't remember exactly the comp. It was just looked at it and said, whoa, whoa, good luck with that. This is another thing we talked about the summer, Wolfgang. They're getting a couple minutes a half out of Bear at the two spot. I wondered if they could do that, and they're at least tinkering with it, and I love it. You can't do it for long stretches, but I think you can get away with it. Nicholas Bear, there are certain guys, and especially if you're going zone, that he can play that two spot. He has a skill set to do it. I like that they're at least tinkering with that. But again, still tinkering 10 games in. Still tinkering when you're playing Iowa State. This is not the time to tinker. It's tinkering with starting lineups. Brady Ellingson gets his first career start last night. Nungy back in the starting lineup. I mean, he's trying everything, and it's just, it's not working.
If you're trying everything, you're trying nothing, right?
Well, I don't know. I think there's something deeper here. They're just.
What does that mean? No.
I don't know. I don't know, because I can't answer.
What did you just say? That's interesting, what you just said right there.
Something internal, something happening there. I don't know what it is, but this team looks different. This team has a different mojo to him. Bohannon, he wasn't scared of anything, and he was taking shots last night, and he looked certainly more engaged. He still only had 2 assists. This guy was putting up 24-10 on the road at Maryland and hitting a big shot to beat Wisconsin a year ago. And doing it not just by scoring, hitting a couple of threes. We know he can shoot it, but he's also doing it running the team and passing the ball and get it. Was it just Peter Jack? Was it just, hey, Bohannon, he's going to dribble out there, wait for Jack to come off a couple of screens. He'll either hit him for a three or he'll hit the guy ducking underneath and get him for an easy layup, because those numbers are down. The assist numbers are not what we saw the last 8, 10, 12 games that they were last season. Something's wrong there, and it's a broken.
So are you a Fran guy?
Yes, absolutely.
Like I said, I talk with you. When you can have a significant argument and a fun argument with your significant other, so I'm having a hardcore argument with a woman. Mm-hmm. Is there anything better than that, Trent?
Oh, yeah, I can think of a lot of things. Certainly with a woman, that's a lot better than having an argument with him. Sure.
Oh, whoa, hello. Okay, we'll stop that right there.
Okay.
But we're talking about, like, what Iowa can do to be better. And she doesn't get that I love Kirk Ferentz. She says, what are you doing? You know, I keep pointing out 5, you know, top 8 finishes, 2 Big Ten titles in 15 years or whatever. She doesn't get it. As an Oklahoma fan, she thinks we are just settling. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We're just settling. And we had a fun argument yesterday. It was totally fun. Fun argument. But I, right now, am pissed about the Iowa basketball program. We should be better. We should be constructing our Iowa basketball team better than what we have seen. So far, what are you doing? What are you doing? Everybody knows it's a guards game, Trent, and what are we putting together right now? Do I want to be a jerk? Do I want to go on HawkeyeNation.com and act like an idiot and a jerk and say, oh, we just don't know what we're doing, and you can't do that on the Hawkeye Nation. I can do that with you right now. It's fun. It's more fun to do that, actually, than to actually say what I truly believe. What should we do, Trent?
So you're a proponent of firing Fran McCaffrey. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely not. No, I was sticking up for Fran and Kirk to tip big time. She doesn't get what we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks we're stupid for sticking up for Kirk and Fran. She thinks we're just, I don't understand why you guys don't just do this and that and understand what, I mean, it's all about.
Okay.
Are we stupid? Are we just settling?
I don't believe so, no.
I don't think we are.
I believe it's the reality. The reality is, it's Iowa. There aren't 4- and 5-star basketball players at this
number. You're settling, Trent. She would say you're settling right now. You're settling. Why can Oklahoma do it but not Iowa?
Well, because they let
Why
people like Joe.
Why can Oklahoma basketball do
because
it but not
they,
Iowa?
Because,
why can Oklahoma get that stud point guard but not Iowa?
Well, I mean, all right, do we want to play this game? Oklahoma, because they let people like Joe Mixon stick around. They recruit a different kind of person there. Iowa doesn't. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Personally, as an Iowa fan, I enjoy also the extra part of it. Maybe it's because I'm aging, because before, you know, Kirk Ferentz was hired. I wanted to see them go out and get Terry Bowden. Terry Bowden was just coming off a scandal at Auburn. I said, yeah, Iowa might end up at end up on probation, but for a couple years they're going to have an excellent team. Well, that was when I was 19 years old. Now, as a 37-year-old, it's different. It's a little bit different now, and my ideals have changed. I like seeing a team that is easy to root for, not having that dirty stench in collegiate sports. The Joe Mixons of the world, them out there. Yeah, it's fun watching them play, but that's me. Maybe it's because I'm getting older, I don't know. There's something to be said, though, about the Iowa program, the kids that they bring in, and the other things that they do. All right, Wolfgang, we got the weekend coming up. Army-Navy, you like this game at all?
No.
What?
No, I won't watch it.
What's wrong with
you? You're going to watch that?
Of course.
Please. I love me some America. I love me some America. I don't care about that game. Either play football well or don't. And they don't play football well.
They do,
but I love America.
Well.
I love America, Trent. I love it.
You are grumpy. Wolfgang, for once, is the grumpy one here. I had to bring the positivity.
Jeez, I think I am right. I think you're right.
What's going on? Are you all right? Do we all right?
No, I think I'm wrong.
Let's step
I think
away.
I'm wrong.
Is it the cold weather? Are you down? Is it that you don't have any more trees to cut down and your lumberjack days are over?
I need a tree. You're right.
Plant a tree for
I
your
need
tomorrow.
A tree to cut down. I will be fine. I'll be next time. Okay, on Monday.
Yeah,
it'll be new me. New me.
New you. A win against Southern. We'll do that, huh?
Southern, Texas, Indiana, Illinois. Southern Hills. What is Southern?
It's just Southern.
What state?
That's all it is. Southern.
Tell me the state. I need to know this before I go out tonight.
It's just Southern. That's it.
Come on. I need to know who Southern is.
Later, they'll play Southern Utah, but this is just Southern.
So you're not even going to give me the state that they belong in.
I think it's Louisiana. I don't even know, though.
You don't even know. That's why you were...
I know they're the Jaguars. I remember they played Grambling all the time at the end of the year. It'd be on NBC. You'd have the great bands at halftime. But let's see here. Southern College.
I'm so happy that you admit that you don't know something.
Yeah,
you don't do that often.
Yes, I do. But I was right. Go. It is in Louisiana. How about that? It's pretty good. It is pretty good. Come on.
All right, I'll give you a prop.
I pulled that off of the
prop there. Okay.
No, Louisiana. See, here's the difference. I do admit when I'm wrong. Now, my partner in the afternoons, Jimmy B, never, ever wants to admit when he's wrong.
But you love being right.
Oh, yeah.
I love being right.
Yes.
And I want to be right.
Yes.
If you don't admit when you're wrong, you lose all credibility.
Absolutely. I mean, call me out. I'm fine with that.
And that's your problem.
My problem? No, not my problem. Jimmy B's problem, maybe. Not my problem. We got to get Jimmy B back in here. We'll talk to you later, Wolfgang.
Thanks, brother. See you, buddy.
All right. That's Wolfgang checking in. A grumpy Wolfgang today. Boy, Mr. Positivity. That new nickname. I am Mr. Sunshine. It was Don Rickles. Now it's your boy, Trent Condon. Not always. Maybe a weekend will do me well as well. We'll come back on the other side. We'll put a cap on things with our picks. Jimmy B jumps back in studio. We're back with more here in just a moment.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We wrap everything up today on a glorious Friday here in the capital city. None of the locals are in action for football because it is the big Army-Navy game weekend. The pageantry, everything that's involved with that contest. I can't wait to watch it. Trent, here's a possibility, too, is they could be playing in snow, which might make this even more fun if, indeed, that snowstorm that dumped snow from Texas all the way into Arkansas and Tennessee and South Carolina, North Carolina, it's coming up the East Coast. And if it hits Philly in time, this game might be changed dramatically if, indeed, we do get a snow game.
It always makes things just a little bit better, Jimmy B, to have that.
It does.
To have the snow flying. I'm with you. I love snow games. I hope that's the case. I just love this game. I love watching the triple option. It's not something that you see very often anymore unless you tune into an Army or Navy game, Air Force, you see Georgia Tech. But there's just something about the offense, the moving parts to it. It's pretty. You know, it's such a different way of watching football. I get a kick out of this game each and every year, and I'm going to this game. Not this year. No, not tomorrow. I'm not making my way to Philly, but I will make it to this game. This is a bucket list item for me. Me and one of my buddies have already said, hey, we're meeting there in 2035. Our kids will be out of the house at that time. So 2035, Jimmy B.
Okay.
I will be there. Doesn't matter if it's in Philly, New York, Washington, D.C. They've had it all over Baltimore. Wherever it is, I will be there. As long as I'm still around, which I hope I am, Jimmy B. You, on the other hand.
Come on. Hey, come on, man. Look at the shape that I'm in.
18 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Carry the one.
So that would put me, I mean, if I'm 92 right now.
Put you at 110.
I'm perfect. I'm good. I'm good.
You say you're 92, but you know you get closer and closer to that every year. There's going to be a time in the not too distant future you actually will be 92. How old will you say you are then?
60.
You'll go the other way. I got you.
I'll go the other way.
You'll go the other way. All right, let's get into the picks. Let's start with the game. Army Navy. Kind of took a deep dive into this. We saw last year Army finally break through and that 14 game losing streak. This year, I'm going on the Navy side. Normally, I root for Army every year. I don't know why. Goes back to when I was little, and for whatever reason, I just, maybe it's because I had little Army guys, and I said, well, I like the Army more than the Navy because of that. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I'm going to go back to Navy this year, bouncing back after that loss last year. I'll lay the field goal with the midshipmen.
All right. I'm going to be on the Navy in this game as well with that field goal. And look, it goes back to when your mom would first put you in the tub. And I had a little submarine at about 3 or 4 years old. And you put baking soda in it. And the thing would submerge and then come back to the top. That's how I got hooked on the Navy right there. Plus, David Robinson went there. So that's good enough for me. So I'm going to take the Naval Academy. Look. They play in the American, and the American had some pretty good teams this year, Trent.
Yes. Yep.
This wasn't like it was a low-life conference, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you got Memphis and South Florida and Central Florida slinging it out the way that they did, and Navy was in all of those games. So I like Navy in this game as well, and I'll lay the 3 points.
All right, our first agreement of the day. Let's go to the NFL now. We'll start with the locals and then get into the national game. First up, Vikings making their way to Carolina. The Vikings, a 2.5-point favorite in this one. I was on the Vikings for a while. Then I jumped off the bandwagon. Not the right time to do it. This team has been a cover machine. Never bet against a winning streak, and I'm going to stay on that one. Give me the Vikings. I'll lay the 2.5, and that defense against Cam Newton, they played well throughout the years, and we know how talented that Vikings defense is. That's the difference. Maybe another ugly kind of game like it was a week ago in the win over Atlanta, but I'll lay the 2.5 on the road with Minnesota.
Isn't the quarterback not supposed to be this good? I mean, when people were saying, man, can't wait for Teddy Bridgewater to get back. Uh-oh. What the heck happened, Trent? How did we miss this? How was he so bad, Case Keenum, so bad as a backup at other teams, and now all of a sudden, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. -2.5 at Carolina. Look, I should be all over Minnesota in this. I really should. And you're right about their defense. But this is a very, very important game for the Carolina Panthers. A very important game. Mm-hmm. And I just think that Carolina is going to find a way. I don't know how they're going to do it against that Viking defense. I don't know if it's going to be Cam Newton to Christian McCaffrey. I don't know if Carolina's defense, which isn't bad, if Luke Kuechly's going to come up with a big interception. So I'm going to ride with the Panthers in this game on their home field.
Going on the opposite side of that one. All right, let's go next in game number three of our pick'em to Kansas City. The Chiefs are a 4-point favorite at home against the Raiders. They had that wild Thursday night game here. Oh, it seemed like forever ago. That was when Kansas City was playing well, but Oakland got it. Now you have David Carr, who threw for 400 yards, yeah, in that game against the Chiefs. Marcus Peters will not be playing in this game. All signs point to Oakland to get it done, but I have a feeling, and that's all that this is. Everything is telling me to take Oakland. I'm going to try it one more time. Give me the Chiefs. I'll lay that big number in the four.
Amari Cooper is back practicing, so that's a big plus for David Carr and the Oakland Raiders offense. Weather's supposed to be relatively decent. No snow, no rain, no wind. Oh, I think that was a song. It wasn't a bit. No snow, no rain. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I'm going to go with the Raiders in this. They're getting points. I know KC put up over 30 at the Jets, but they give up points just like they put them up. So I think the Raiders offense can play with the Chiefs, and I am going to take Oakland, and I'm going to grab those 4 points, Trent.
All right, let's finish up with the locals, as we will not be picking the Bears because they suck. Let's go to Cleveland. The Brownies, yeah, hosting the Pack. Green Bay favored by 3.5. This line seems suspiciously low. Everybody talking about Green Bay. They get Aaron Rodgers back. All you have to do is beat Cleveland. This is there's something just weird about this. Where are you going, Jimmy B? I might even tail you here. Who are you taking, Browns and Pack?
All right, look, they just made a change in the front office. John Dorsey is back. The former GM of the Chiefs is now the GM for Cleveland. But the problem is, the dude doesn't play. He's a front office guy. So, nothing changes on the field for Cleveland. I think the Packers win this game, and I don't care if it's a late cover like we got last week in the overtime. I think the Packers understand exactly what is on the line here. And that is, if you continue with Brett Hundley to hold down the fort for another game, you just might get Mr. Rodgers back up under center. And if that's the case, I'm going to lay the 3.5, and I will grab Green Bay. I know it looks like a phony line, but that's where I'm going to go. I think the defense of Green Bay will find a way to win this game and cover over the Browns.
I'm with you. I've tried to go on the Browns. Things say that, yeah, I can't. I don't want to go down with the Cleveland Browns ship. I'll take the Packers too. Give me Green Bay, and I'll lay the 3.5. We finish up with the big national game. It'll be on Fox 17. It will be the Rams hosting the Eagles. The Eagles stay out west after losing Sunday night against the Seattle Seahawks. Jimmy B, what do you got in the big afternoon game?
Well, look, they thought Russell Wilson set the world on fire, and he did against that Philly defense. Wait till you see Jared Goff and what his wide receivers can do as well. Look, the Rams are home, and they're getting points at home. That makes this game very, very suspicious to me. But, look, I think Philly's vulnerable. I think it was shown how to the really good teams – like Seattle, like the Rams, and don't sit here and say, oh, the Rams aren't any. Yes, they are good. They are good. And their defense is solid. I think this is a very close game, but I'm going to take the Rams at home beating Philadelphia.
You're going with the Rams. I will go on the Eagles. This team has been too good throughout the season. I don't see them losing back-to-back games. I think it's going to be a great game, but I have to pick a side, And I'm going to go on the other side from you. I will take the Eagles to get it done, and I'll lay that point and a half. So, disagreements. Jimmy B's got the Rams. I have the Eagles. I have the Chiefs. He has the Raiders. I have the Vikings. And Jim has the Panthers. And we both have Navy and Green Bay to cover the number. There are our picks, Jimmy B. You have a four-game lead over me right now. You're 39-29-2. I'm 35-33-2. So, a four-game lead. I can pick a couple up on you this week. Let's hope that happens. I need to tighten this thing up before we get into a bowl season, which, well, it'll be coming before you know it, Jimmy B. It'll be kicking off next weekend. We'll have some bowl games to get back into with our picks as well.
I'm taking Louisiana Monroe.
Oh, really?
Wait, are they even playing?
No. The Warhawks did not.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to take them anyway. Okay. Arkansas State. Is Arkansas State in a game?
The Red Wolves, I do not believe either, are in a bowl game. Okay. So it looks like you got a little studying.
I'm 0 for 2. Okay. Well, where's that dartboard when I need it?
Well, we took a look around the NFL. Jim, what else this weekend? You know, I'm kind of excited about tonight. There's a fun triple header of college hoops happening out at Staples Center tonight. It starts here in just a few minutes, in fact. St. John's against Arizona State. Hurley's got his team undefeated. Chris Mullins is finally getting things pointed in the right direction at St. John's. That's game one. Get to see Trae Young in Oklahoma then in game two against USC. And the nightcap, it'll be a late one, Jimmy B, but we know you'll be up at the bar. Nevada TCU. TCU
right.
Undefeated still, longest winning streak in the country, and that Wolfpack team with your boy Musselman, they're 8-1. That's a good squad out there, and also ranked in the top 25. So a fun night of basketball actually for a Friday.
It really is, and I can't wait to watch some of these games. I've watched a little bit of I think St. John's played Grand Canyon.
They did, yeah.
A couple of days ago. Yeah, okay. So I watched a little bit of that. And I think Chris Mullin has finally turned the corner with this team. Mm-hmm. And I think Mitch Richmond is like one of his assistant coaches.
Really?
Yes, now that's pretty good stuff right there. So, you know, you got part of Run TMC on there. So that's pretty doggone good.
You're good to go, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if we had Hardaway, we'd be great. So at any rate, the Oklahoma-USC game is going to be very intriguing, and I can't wait. Nevada's good. I've seen Nevada play, and they're good, and we know TCU is good.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty good night of college basketball on a Friday, yeah.
Can't beat that. Well, we'll be back on Monday to recap everything we see over the weekend, big NFL weekend. For once, we get a good slate. Excited about that. Jim, have a good weekend.
Thank you, buddy. We are out of here, and we will talk to you Monday, bright and early, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, right in my hit zone. Gotta love it. Jimmy B and TC, right here on the Big Talker, 1700.